From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org. And starting us off today, Aaron in Arlington asks, can the president hold another public office after his or her term has ended? For example, when Obama's term is over, could he return to being a senator or possibly run for governor of Illinois? Chris in Minneapolis writes, I know that U.S. senators and representatives have set salaries and benefits, but what about their staffs? Are members of Congress allotted a certain number of staffers, or do they get so much money for a staff with or without benefits, which they can allocate as they desire? Are the staff members federal employees or government contractors employed by the members of Congress? And on a related subject, Chris says, what is the accepted or proper plural of staff? Is it staffs? I think it is staffs. Someone will answer at 800-933-5372. Let's see. Sherry in Dallas asks, what kind of trees are in the little grove along the ramp leading to Olive Street just after exiting off Woodall Rogers onto Pearl and then choosing the olive part of the split? So this would have to be you're driving up Woodall Rogers here in Dallas from 35 toward 75, and you exit the Pearl Olive exit, and then you continue to take Olive on back around over the highway that you were just on. What kind of trees are those? Call us, 800-933-5372. Errol in Dallas asks via email to anything@kera.org. He says, my question is about the American flag on some military and civilian aircraft. Why is it there? Errol says, I was told it certifies domestic aircraft to carry U.S. mail. Can anyone refute or confirm this? Well, that's what we do the show. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. And starting off today, we'll speak with Andrea in Dallas. Hello, Andrea. Are you there, Andrea? Hello, Andrea. Let's try Richard in Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. Love the show. I just wanted to say that.
Hey, thanks.
As far as the question about can a president run for public office again, mm-hmm. unless anything has changed, I believe that they still can. John Quincy Adams, I believe, ran for 17 years as a state representative after he was president.
Yeah, I wouldn't see why not, but maybe, you know, the question today is, why would you?
Oh.
You know, you've just been president.
So.
But yeah, so that's, well, thanks for calling.
Well, I have a question that I've been meaning to ask, and
okay.
I didn't remember until I was on hold.
Okay.
When you're driving on that ramp, the exit for 45 and 75, as you're going 35 south, there used to be an enormous American flag that mm-hmm. used to fly right there, and the pole is still there, but it's been missing for at least 2 years now. And I'm wondering, whatever happened to that flag, and how come it's not being flown anymore, just because it was actually a glorious sight driving onto that ramp and it going into downtown Dallas.
So this was the southbound I-35 in Dallas, when you take mm-hmm. the ramp to get on, I guess, to get on Woodall Rogers.
Yes.
That curves back around to the left near the west end there.
Yes, as you hit the top of that curve, there was an enormous American flag, and it was really beautiful.
Hmm. Okay, so. Well, we'll ask and see if anybody knows what happened.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's talk to Sally in Dallas. Hello, Sally.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question.
Sure.
I was wondering if a person's lost at sea or lost in the wilderness and a massive search and rescue mission is and they're found, is the person who's been rescued financially responsible for all of the effort that's gone into finding them?
I think it would depend on the laws in that state or maybe that municipality, but we'll ask and see if we get a more qualified or informed answer for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sally. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. And that's where this comes from, Maria, who asks, where can I take Spanish classes in the Fort Worth area without enrolling at a university? So are there Spanish classes available in the Fort Worth area without enrolling? Carolyn in DeSoto writes, I'm still looking for a solution to chewed gum stuck on pants. And that doesn't ring a bell for me, Carolyn, but we'll ask. Is there a solution for chewed gum stuck on pants? Oh, also, Carolyn says some grocery stores have barrels in front of the store for recycling grocery bags. Maybe this is from a question we had last week. This is from Lisbeth in the North Texas area, who says, I have a 6.5-pound Yorkie. I've tried to brush his teeth, and he refuses to cooperate. I've used both the finger brush and the regular toothbrush. Are there any tips to convincing your dog to cooperate with the brushing of the teeth? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to John in Dallas. Hello, John.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well.
Very good. Love your show. I had a question for you. It's two parts of it, actually.
Okay.
First thing I wanted to know, the media, or actually the news stations and the TV, decide which story is headlining news. And the second part...
Which one is leading off the... Who decides, or how do they decide?
The news TV, uh-huh. TV news, how they choose which news to be the top news, or, you know, for the day,
right,
or the radio station, how they choose that. And the question, like, you know, how in the Middle East they have, like, Gaza siege, and, you know, they have a million people without electric and water, and nobody mentions it. I wanted to know, is the owners of the TV stations or the radio station has their own agenda and the newscast has to push it? Or how does that, you know, the writers, how they choose the topics to be the top one?
Right.
And the second thing, how do you open a radio station in Dallas if you want to open one, you know, like community radio station?
How do you open? Okay, that's a question that it would seem like I'd be able to maybe take a stab at, but I have no idea. As far as what, so we'll ask and we'll see if we get a suggestion on starting a radio station. In the North Texas area from the audience. As far as who chooses the lead-off story for a newscast, well, it usually falls to the news director. And that person, you know, at least that's how it works here at KERA. That person makes the decision because that's their job and they've had, you know, years of experience and instincts and understand, you know, what is going to be the most important story to the audience that day. And I think that's where your other question comes in. You know, different television news stations or radio news outlets or even newspapers they all serve their own audience. So I think that the publisher, in the case of a magazine or a newspaper, who really sets the tone about, you know, as far as what gets covered or what's important, depends on them serving that audience. I know the decisions that I make editorially here, along with the rest of the team on the Think program, are based on what the audience, you know, what the audience is going to get from it. So I think that's where, you know, that's where that decision gets made, at least as far as in my experience.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey,
you
bet.
Very much.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
800-933-5372. Up next is Kevin in Dallas. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Jeff. In answer to the question about the president's post-presidential career, there are two famous examples of presidents who did things afterwards. President Andrew Johnson served in the Senate after his presidency for practically the rest of his life.
Okay.
And President William Howard Taft served as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and was the only president in history to be a former president swearing in his successor. So, yes, they can do just about anything except be president again.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Yep.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. We got some confirmation on this from Arthur in Dallas. There is no law, he writes, or constitutional rule that says a former president cannot hold a public office after he or she serves out their term. He also says William Howard Taft was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Andrew Johnson and John Quincy Adams both served in Congress. And Rob says, the plural of staff, you have a choice, according to dictionary.com, of either staffs or staves. Although it sounds weird to say something like the CEOs and their staves arrived at the conference, to me at least. 800-933-5372. Up next is Kevin in Dallas. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, the plants on that curve or those trees on Olive, bamboo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't drive that way, so I did not. Just getting the question, I think I saw it in the inbox a couple of days ago. I did not have a chance to drive by there and look at it. But
it's bamboo.
Very good.
And then my question is there any, or what's the story behind, people in workplaces collecting the soda can taps? You know, you pull the tab off and you put it in a gallon milk jug.
Right.
You know, I've heard all kinds of stories. You know, you donate it to the Ronald McDonald House, or people use it for dialysis.
Right. We've had this question, and I thought, and we got an answer I'd never gotten before, because you always hear that it's a myth that they're worth more. But apparently, according to a caller to this show, or maybe it was an email or a few weeks ago, the pull tab you know, rings are a higher grade or a purer aluminum than the rest of the cans. Now, that's just what we heard on the show, so I have not independently verified that, but that's the closest answer I can give you, unless someone can give us a little bit more definitive answer.
Okay, so is it there? Nobody knows anything about, are they used for dialysis, or do you get $100 if you take it to the recycling depot? Or
again, all I can tell you is that is what we've heard is that that it's a higher grade. A higher grade aluminum is in the pull tab as opposed to the can. But if someone has a further answer on that, call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Matt in Plano. Hello, Matt.
Hello. It's an honor to be on the show.
Hey, it's an honor to have your call.
Thank you. And I have an answer to the congressional staffer question.
Okay.
I was a intern for two different politicians out in West Texas when I was in college out there. Unfortunately, I wasn't paid, though, but I do know how they do get paid. It is through tax dollars. You have 435 congressional House of Representatives, and each one gets the same allocated amount of tax money. And
okay.
It's up to the chief of staff how that money is spent. So sometimes you have more staffers, sometimes you have few staffers, and if you go online, you can see how much each congressional staffer gets paid.
Wow. Okay. And they get, I guess they get, do they get medical benefits and everything too?
I do not know that question. I would assume they do because it is through tax money and
right.
They are considered federal employees, and it's different for the Senate. It is dependent upon your population. So
okay.
Dianne Feinstein would have much more than Larry Craig
wow.
from Idaho.
Okay. So as far as the Congress, the House of Representatives is concerned, it's you get an allowance, and then the congressperson and their chief of staff allocate it as they see fit. So some would have more, some would have less.
Yeah, so
some would have more or fewer staffers, I guess.
Yes, so some chief of staff people might get paid more. And, yeah, you can see this all online. I don't have the name of the website, but if you just Google it,
sure.
It should take no more than 30 seconds to find out.
Great, Matt, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Nisha in Plano. Hello, Nisha.
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted you to know that.
Thank you.
We just moved from Indiana to Plano, and I am just hooked on your show.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yes. I was calling to comment about removing chewing gum from your clothes.
Okay.
So if you would just pour ice-cold water, in fact, the better thing to do would be to also put more extra ice into the water,
mm-hmm.
and then just pour it over where the gum is, and then just peel it off.
Okay, so it'll sort of freeze the gum, and you can pull it right off.
Yes, yes.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, Nisha.
Yep, bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Up next is Richard in Lake Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Okay, I had a question. Sometimes in local elections, I see I'll see, like, you know, two or three people from the same party running for the same position. You know, like you might have, like, two Republicans running for county commissioner or whatever. My question was, if somebody votes straight ticket, who gets that vote?
Hmm. Well, it's a good question. Let's see if we get an answer for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
800-933-5372 is the email address. I'm sorry, is the telephone number. The email address, of course, golly, anything at kera.org. Andy has written us about that large office campus in Plano on Plano Parkway at Custer. He says, I believe it used to belong to ARCO. The building is surrounded by fences, has huge satellite antennas in the back, surrounded by dirt bunkers, large oil tanks, appears to have its own power plant. The sign in the front of the building shows the address, but no mention of a company name. Andy asks, is this some sort of secret government building? I think we've had this this question before, and I think the answer we got was that it belonged to ARCO. Somebody call us, 800-933-5372, or email us anything at kera.org if that has indeed changed. And we'll be right back. From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, this is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington, and the telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address where you can call us this hour, or email us this hour, is anything at kera.org. I'm sorry, I'm stumbling all over myself. We had a little station turkey dinner, and I think it's starting to kick in. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Kate in Dallas. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling in reference to the Spanish lessons.
Okay.
I'm currently taking Spanish lessons. I found my teacher on Craigslist under lessons. The going rate in Dallas is usually about $20 an hour.
Oh, okay. What a great idea.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
So check out Craigslist. Last week we had the question about the Texas State Pledge, which we got answered pretty well. But then we got into this discussion on which other states had been their own countries or republics prior to annexation into the United States of America. And, of course, we were reminded that Vermont was a republic. I said something about California being a republic and promised I'd look it up. I did and found this, wouldn't you know it, on Wikipedia. It says, the California Republic, also called the Bear Flag Republic, was the result of a revolt by settlers from the United States on June 14, 1846, in the town of Sonoma against the authorities of the Mexican province of California. The republic lasted less than a month, and the republic eventually became the present-day state of California. So it was, for less than a month. Whew. Dodge one there. And now, and Ralph, in Irving sent us this email that says Utah was the independent state of Deseret from 1847 until Johnston's army of U.S. soldiers occupied Salt Lake City in about 1856 or so, prompted by the notion that this Western non-slave territory would be important in the upcoming Civil War, and because the religious state stood directly in the path of manifest destiny and expansion to the West Coast. Ralph, thanks for that reminder. We also had the question about when did the whole idea or tradition of presidents having speechwriters write their speeches for them, when did that get started? Richard in Dallas says, I've been reading a bio of Alexander Hamilton. He says, though it was kept under wraps, it was well known that Hamilton was responsible for assisting Washington with his farewell speech. Karen in Arlington says there's a book called White House Ghosts, Presidents and Their Speechwriters by Robert Schlesinger, according to Amazon.com. She says, I've not read the book, but the review from Publishers Weekly states that even George Washington had people help him draft important papers and speeches. However, according to Schlesinger, Franklin Roosevelt was the first president to hire full-time professional speechwriters. And then we got this from Tony in Dallas, who listens especially to the podcasts, and says, according to the book The White House Staff by Bradley H. Patterson and Presidential Voices by Alan A. Metcalf, Judson Welliver was the first person hired full-time specifically to write presidential speeches. He began his White House service under President Warren Harding on March 4, 1921, as a literary clerk. He also wrote for President Calvin Coolidge. Ever since then, the president's staff has included a speechwriting person or unit. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Jeff in Dallas. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Great show.
Oh, thanks so much.
Hey, you always hear about these people that spend 5 or 6 years in prison or whatever, and then they're found innocent or proven innocent. And I always wondered, they never say, are they compensated at a certain price, and can they sue, or what happens? Do they get anything?
That's a great question, and we've had several exonerated folks on the show in the last couple of years, and, you know, that's a really great question, and someone hopefully will have an answer for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. 800-933-5372. Up next is Neil in Luella. Hello, Neil.
Hi, I have a question.
Okay.
I'm trying to buy a car, and looking at Craigslist, I see these luxury cars for prices that are less than half the NADA value.
Right.
So it's got to be a scam of some sort, and I'm wondering, what's the scam here?
Hmm. I don't know. I mean, the thing about buying stuff online that I've always, been told is just to make absolutely sure that you are getting what you buyer beware, that
yeah.
you're getting what you understand you're getting what you're paying for.
Yeah.
I mean, are there photographs and everything on the?
Yeah, photographs, and they're very consistent one to the next in
right.
the Dallas area. So it looks like it's probably the same person. I replied and asked what's the deal and never got an answer.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, are they just collecting email addresses and I'm going to get a whole bunch of spam, or is there something else?
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
800-933-5372. Thomas in Arlington Says from Merriam-Webster.com, the plural of staff pronounced can be pronounced either staffs, staves, or staves with a soft A sound. Says your last emailer was correct. The plural of staff is either staffs or staves. However, both versions share a second pronunciation as well, staves. Very good. Let's see. Doug and Tyler says an American flag on an aircraft means that the plane has flown overseas. Okay. Also from the inbox, Shannon and Denton says, I found that enzymatic puppy toothpaste works well with dogs. It comes in a variety of flavors such as barley, beef, poultry, peanut, and mint. They love the flavor and it keeps working after you finish swabbing it on the teeth. And Shannon says, I use the finger brush, but it is messy. But the peanut butter flavor would go over well. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Jan in Saginaw. Hello, Jan.
Hello there. I'm a longtime listener, and I am trying to get my outside antenna to work properly with the broadcast.
Okay.
And I wanted a resource where to go to find the proper orientation to pick up all the broadcast stations locally from Saginaw. And I haven't been able to find it online or anyplace else.
So you're hoping there's some place that'll sort of help you customize for your area.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer. You know, barring that, the old, you know, yell out the window at somebody on the roof or even better, these days you can take your cell phone and the person adjusting the antenna can be on the cell phone and the other person can be watching.
Right. Well, if we knew which way.
Right. Other than that, we'll see if we get some help for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan.
Bye. 800-933-5372.
Let's see. Gina in Frisco wants to know if there's anything like a soup kitchen that would let us bring our six-year-old and allow her to help a little with serving or food prep. Seems like most of the major ones won't let kids volunteer. I think we've had a question in the past about setting it up so your kids can volunteer at places, and some places would let, if memory serves me correctly, and don't count on it, folks, but some places would let you come with your kids. But we'll ask if anybody can help with this, especially this time of year. Let's see. Chris in Las Colinas is asking via email. Recently, he writes, a temporary beige wall made of plywood has gone up along Lake Carolyn in Las Colinas. Does anybody know what this is for and how long we can expect it to be there? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Corey in Richardson. Hello, Corey.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
I got an answer for the building off of Perot, off of
Plano Parkway. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually owned by Ross Perot Jr. as the building's Perot Systems. You can go to their website to find out more.
Okay.
So
some sort of communications installation, obviously.
Yeah, and the building, it's just, I think a lot, he has the main computer center, so
okay.
I'm not quite sure what's buried there, but I know it's pretty much self-sustaining with the power and
sure.
water. And stuff.
Which is actually with any major information company or big corporation, that's pretty standard operating procedure
yeah.
these days. Almost
yeah,
everybody has diesel generators on site.
Yeah.
So, all right, thanks very much, Corey.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Let's try again with Andrea. Andrea, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go right ahead.
Actually, one answer for the dog brushing the teeth.
Okay.
Our veterinarian gave us, we purchased, obviously, but he recommended some liquid stuff, and it has kind of an angled tube, and you can squirt it just along the gum line. It runs down over the teeth.
Huh.
And that was good enough. If you can brush with it, great, and use a little finger thing or something. But if not, it was better than nothing else. And then, of course, giving them good rawhides or proper chewing things are always a good thing.
Sure.
So I just want to throw that out there. But this question comes to you courtesy of my 12-year-old who asked me the other day, is the word Samaritan always capitalized? And I looked it up online and found that it refers to a biblical, I guess, in the Christian Bible, it refers to in Luke and somebody from Samaria.
Right.
But we use it as a generic term. And is it ever not capitalized? And then my second question is, yesterday Chris Boyd was interviewing somebody on Think, and he mentioned something about that the public didn't always expect, this is just in passing, but the public didn't always expect the information from the newspapers to be accurate or credible. You know, that I guess there was more, you know, trivial discussion. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, at what point did society expect the paper, what was written in the paper, to be accurate, even though it isn't always?
Right. That's a great question. And I've while I had you on the line on hold here, I did look up in my copy right here on the desk of Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 11th edition, which says Samaritan. Where is it now? I should have marked it. Samaritan, habitant of Samaria, a native or inhabitant of Samaria, the parable of the Good Samaritan, a person who is generous in helping those in distress. And then it has Samaritan in lowercase. It's capitalized in the main entry. It says often capitalized. So according to this, it's not always, but often capitalized.
Interesting. Well, as far as the sixth graders go in Plano, it's always capitalized. I thought that was just really fascinating.
All right. Well, we'll see if someone else has an answer, and we'll see if anybody has an answer about that, when the news media was expected to report the truth.
Great. Thanks.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Well, I promised her I'd call, so thanks.
All right. You bet. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Danny in Granbury. Hello, Danny.
Yeah. I love your show. I've been
Thank you.
Always trying to catch it all the time. I got an answer to a question, and I got a question.
Okay. What's your answer?
The answer is for the lady that's got the gum on the pants.
Uh-huh.
I've always used ice. That just gets it off pretty good.
Okay.
And my question is, where did the saying come from that cold turkey, when people like quit cold turkey?
Right.
Where did that originate from, or how?
I think we've had this question before, Danny, but I can't remember the specific citation. So we'll ask, and someone will call or email us with the answer, or maybe
okay.
maybe two or three choices of an answer.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye bye.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email always open. Anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Alex in Arlington. Hello, Alex.
Hi, I got a question for an answer for
okay.
you. Sorry, about states that used to be republics. It's not a whole state, but the Florida parishes in southern Louisiana used to be the Republic of West Florida for about a year. And weirdly enough, it happened a bit after the Louisiana Purchase, but before the Florida Purchase, they were negotiated by the United States bought East Florida, but West Florida was its own republic, and then. After looking around and realized it was surrounded and all that, did the same thing that most of the other pre-U.S. republics did and joined back up pretty quickly.
Very good. Well, Alex, thanks very much. Clarification and further answers are always welcome.
Sure, no problem.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Last week we had the question about what purpose, if any good purpose, do mosquitoes serve? And Jeff, writing from somewhere, says, in last Sunday's parade, the Ask Maryland column answered that mosquitoes are 100% pests and serve no beneficial purpose. I wonder who that came from, though. I'd love to get a definitive answer from maybe a biologist or somebody. Let's see, in regards to and I'm going to say it wrong again, the Yingling beer. This is from Robert. He says, the best place to get it carry out, or the nearest place, is Alabama or Tennessee. In regards to the Texas Pledge of Allegiance, Robert does confirm that Vermont obtained independence from New Hampshire in 1777, was a republic for 14 years, initially named New Connecticut. Robert and Keller, this is. Also adds that Texas obtained independence from Mexico in 1836, was a republic for 9 years. Hawaii established a republic in 1894 after dissolving its monarchy and was independent for 4 years. And California, although revolted against Mexico in 1846, did not officially ratify a constitution until just before it was admitted to statehood, and their constitution was designed as a state constitution, not a republic. He says, although I don't know the reasoning, I suspect this was not ratified because the area was embroiled in the U.S.-Mexican War at the time, and they felt that statehood was likely inevitable. 800-933-5372. Up next is Roger in Burleson. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Jeff. I think on the staff and staves and all that question, we get caught up in the fact that many words in English or American usage have so many meanings. You know, a staff, something you carry in your hand, a staff is a group of people. But I would think that the word staves would tend to lean toward the object you carry in your hand.
I agree.
The people.
I agree.
And my question is, will a water filter that comes on in one of the modern-day refrigerators filter out fluoride from the drinking water?
No idea. We'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you very much.
All right. 800-933-5372. Let's see. GC in Addison says, indeed, the campus at Custer and Plano Parkway was the ARCO campus until the early 90s. Then it was taken over by Perot Systems, which is what it is today. We don't advertise the space due to sensitive nature and importance we place on our customers' data, and there's no real need to. We actually don't logo any building we are in. And yes, Ross Sr. comes to work every day and eats in the cafeteria like everyone else. And he is a pretty down-to-earth guy, actually, Ross Perot Sr. As far as the exonerated getting paid for their time, Ryan and Dallas writes that if an exoneree receives an official writ of habeas corpus from the governor, he or she is eligible for $50,000 per year spent wrongly in prison, up to a maximum reward of $500,000. This is given in exchange for the right to sue the state. And let's see, Bill in Natchitoches, Louisiana, and yes, he listens via the internet. Regarding those wrongly convicted who are later freed, whether they receive compensation depends on the state in which they have served their time. Some states have funds for reparation. Some require that suits be filed by the aggrieved party. Used to be no compensation was available, but that's changing. He says, if I remember right, Texas does allow some financial reimbursement. Thanks very much for both of those emails. Let's talk next to Steve in Hearst. Hello, Steve.
I've got a question about this financial crisis. I read that deflation will cause us, make it more difficult to pay off debt. I'm really not understanding that kind of question.
Well, we'll see if we can get some sort of explanation for you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Steve. It's anything you ever wanted to know. The phone number, 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org, and we'll be right back. And from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, this is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington, and our phone number, 800-933-5372. And that is where we find David in Dallas. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you? May I have
Doing
a couple
well.
Of answers here for you. And I run a broadcast engineering firm and actually own a couple of radio stations. To the question about putting in another station, be it commercial or non-commercial, everything below 91.9 on the dial is in what we call the educational band, and everything above is commercial. There are some exceptions across the country.
Right.
First step would be to find a location for the station in the FCC's table of allocations. That's a lengthy process, and the reality is in most of the metropolitan areas, including ours, the space, most of the frequencies were gobbled up long ago,
sure.
Which puts you in the process of having to purchase a station, and those are quite expensive at this point,
right.
Anywhere 30 to 60 to $100 million to get into Dallas. The good news in our market is that we're actually pretty fortunate. They're very, because of our market size, the nation's fifth largest radio market, we've got you guys, which provide essentially a talk-based programming platform 24 hours a day.
We like to call it news and information.
There you go. And
That's
then
right.
We've got WRR with a classical music source. And most markets below our size do not have the capability of having both of those differentiated on the dial.
Right.
So we're fortunate to probably have more information available to us than most. And then to the lady who was asking about orienting her antenna.
Yes.
Probably the quickest way to do it is pull out a roadmap, look at where your house or business is, and 98% of the stations are coming out of Cedar Hill, and figure out, okay, that's however many degrees, just put a compass on it and put the antenna on your roof so that it points towards Cedar Hill, and you'll probably have all the radio you'll ever need.
Very good. Well, David, thanks so much.
Enjoy the day.
All right. And, you can always do what those of us up here did, just go get a job at a radio station, I guess. It's amazing. It works out. Let's see. Alan Carrollton says, orienting an antenna, use www.antennaweb.org. AntennaWeb, all one word, .org. says this not only gives you the direction, but recommends a style of antenna. You just put in your address. And Mike in Dallas says nearly all the, and concurs, nearly all the TV and FM broadcast transmission antennas are at Cedar Hill. He says, so in Saginaw, you would point your antenna southeast, approximate compass heading 120 degrees. I love this show. Let's talk next to John in Denton. Hello, John.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I have an answer to the question about serving with your family around the holidays.
Yeah.
I go to a church in Denton, and we serve about 1,500 low-income families in Denton on Thanksgiving Day, and there's plenty of opportunities for the whole family to come out
and help out with that.
Food and hang out. Yeah, so you can just go to the website, which is thevillagechurch.net, and you can get all the information there.
Very good. John, thanks so much.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Fred in Kemp. Hello, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I was going to answer that question. It is antennaweb.org.
Okay.
For the orientation on the antenna. And the good news is there's actually a street-level map that she can look at on there, too, so she doesn't have to just try to go by degrees.
Very nice. Thanks so much.
No problem. You have a great night.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Carolyn in Dallas wants to know, how do I legally picket or protest a business? For example, if a store opens up that has business practices that I don't agree with and want to picket outside of the store just to make people aware of this fact, would I be breaking any law? Carolyn says, I'm thinking of picketing on the weekends prior to Christmas just so people coming in to purchase Christmas gifts would be aware of this particular business's practices. Any information you could help me get would be very welcome. 800-933-5372 or email us anything at kera.org. Sam asks if we'd revisit a question in August that he doesn't think was ever answered. And you know what, Sam? I don't think it was ever answered either. He says, I'm doing some spring cleaning this fall and I have tons of videotapes. I'd like to know where in the area I can recycle them. These are not pre-recorded movies that you would have purchased in the day at Blockbuster, but rather home-taped videos of TV shows, football games, etc. I have about 3 big boxes of them and don't want to just put them in the trash and add to the landfill. Does anyone know of a place I can take them to be recycled? He said, free would be great. He says, but I'd even be willing to spend a minimal amount to get rid of them if I knew they were going to be properly disposed of. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Up next is Valerie in Keller. Hello, Valerie.
Hi. I have a question about hanging Christmas garland on a brick wall outside.
I'm sorry. Say it again. Hanging what?
Christmas garland.
Oh, okay.
Outside on a brick wall, but I don't want to damage my brick. I would rather not put screw into the mortar. So is there any other way to get this garland to stay up outside?
I don't know if they make all those things that are sort of magic sticky things, but I don't know if that would work outside.
Yeah, 3M hooks are great for exterior doors and windows, but they don't seem to stick to brick very well.
Okay, so you've tried that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you could always, there's another thing you could always do is do you have like sort of wood trim at the top of the brick where your roof line is?
Right.
You could always screw into that and then hang long sort of wires or something down, although that seems
that
like
that
it's a
work,
lot of work.
But if there's any way to avoid screws or
right.
putting
so,
holes into the,
yeah, so
the wall.
no holes in the house and hang garland on the brick. So we'll see if we can get an answer for you.
That's my friend.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks
All
a
right,
lot. 800-933-5372. Up next is Jason in Oak Cliff. Hello, Jason.
Hi there. I had a quick question. I was doing some research on an old park that used to exist in Oak Cliff around Lake Cliff in about 1907. It's called Lake Cliff Park. And when reviewing kind of the records, I found it used to have a lot of amusement rides. And mm-hmm. of those, there was an old carousel. And eventually this park went under and I guess was purchased by the city. And I was just trying to figure out if anyone knew, was there like a collector's group for these things that and find a repository of what happened to these things. I can't imagine a carousel would just be dismantled or thrown away or something of that nature. I imagine it's probably a list of database or serial numbers in a database somewhere that could reference where these went or if they're somewhere else now, just to get some more information.
Where the old carousels went.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Great. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. 800-933-5372. That's where we find Rob in Plano. Hello, Rob.
About mosquitoes.
Yes.
Well, they're way down bottom of the food chain. Everybody eats them, fish, birds, other bugs, bigger bugs. they're a common source of food for a lot of different species.
Very good. So we need them.
As far as hanging stuff on bricks, I always drill the mortar because it's easy to repair the mortar. You just get some more mortar and patch it in the hole when you're done. It doesn't really matter how much you tear up the mortar because it's easy to fix. But when I hang stuff...
And you can leave the screws there year-round unless they fall out.
Well,
yeah,
you can leave them there or take them out. But then going up to the woodwork's about the only other answer.
Right.
Or some kind of a stand, an A-frame made out of PVC mast, which is ugly, or little bamboo sticks if you can find them. Sometimes you can stand stuff up easier than hang it.
A lot more work than just putting a little hole in the mortar.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, thanks very much, Rob.
Bye.
And let's see if we can get confirmation from Nick in Jacksboro. Hello, Nick.
Hello. I was also calling in response to the mosquito issue.
You bet.
The first guy who talked was absolutely right that mosquitoes are food for all kinds of other animals. But there's another important thing that they've served, too. And historically, they're one of the best conservation tools in the world. And what I mean is that they inhabit a whole lot of tropical jungles that have not been developed, mainly because there are a lot of mosquitoes living there that carry diseases and have prevented people from moving into those areas historically.
That's a great point, Nick. Well, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
And a couple of emails on this. Let's see. Karen and Euless says, purple martins eat mosquitoes, so they're at least important to the food chain. Karen also adds, but I really don't like them either because I seem to be under them on the food chain. And let's see. Esteban says, the idea that mosquitoes play no positive role is preposterous. Only female mosquitoes bite, he says, and they use the blood to feed the eggs they're about to lay. The larvae feed on the blood as they grow. Mosquitoes are also at the bottom of the food chain, and depending on the environment, they are eaten by either small fish or spiders and other bugs. These predators are in turn eaten by larger animals in a circle that eventually ends with us, the end predator. All animals play an important role in complex ecosystems, and therein lies the danger in acting to eliminate one that we consider a pest. He says the implications could eventually be devastating. 800-933-5372. Up next is Jim and Tyler. Hello, Jim.
Hello. My question is, are there any FCC regulations on commercials on TV? How many can they have per program, and do they all have to come at the same time on different programs?
Hmm.
And also, what happens to mosquitoes during the winter?
That's a great question, too. Well, we'll ask and see if we get answers to both of those. If not today, then maybe next week. So tune in in 2 weeks, Jim. Oh, bye, Jim. 800-933-5372. Up next is Marie in Fort Worth. Hello, Marie.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I have an answer to the person who was asking about candidates running for election, multiple candidates.
Yeah, from the same party.
We have two elections. We have a springtime election that runs a party election where the parties choose who the candidate to represent their party is. So you have multiple Democrats or multiple Republicans, and then that eliminates any except just one. And then in the general election in November, there's only one Democrat, only one Republican, only one Libertarian. And if you vote a straight ticket in the November election, then every person of that party will get your vote on that ballot. But there will be only one because all the extras were eliminated in the springtime election.
Very good. In the primary.
Right.
Very good. Marie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. We might get to a couple more calls. We did have a few more emails I want to get to here from Richard, who says, regarding the car scams online, he says, not long ago we had a case down the street from us in Richardson. There was a vacant house where people broke in and used the house to entice someone to come buy a car and then proceeded to rob them when they showed up. He says, just remember, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And let's see, like I said, we can get a couple more answers and calls in here. Let's talk to Gilda in Fort Worth. Hello, Gilda.
Hi. I have an answer for the putting garland on external brick.
Okay.
I struggled with it for years, did all the things that the people have already said, and I got to hot glue, and it works great.
Hmm.
And then you can take the glue off when you're done. You just have to be careful not to put any of the actual green part of the garland. Just connect the wire. but use a little bit of hot glue and it'll stick.
And do you stick the hot glue, you just stick it right on the brick and then stick it on?
Put it right on the brick, yes.
Wow, that's a great suggestion. Thanks, Gilda.
Sure.
Let's talk also to Whitney in Wichita Falls. Hello, Whitney.
Hi, I have an answer and a question.
Okay.
My answer is for the hanging things on brick. I haven't tried it, but I saw in a catalog, and I think the catalog was called Miles Kimball, kind of a metal clip that hooks on brick. It would only work if your mortar is kind of recessed back from the brick edge.
Okay.
And so I've seen it, and they're not very expensive.
Okay.
And then I asked the question to come back, and I never did hear the answer about cartoons. I have a 3-year-old, so I watch a lot of Tom and Jerry.
Sure.
About how whatever object is going to have an action or activity to it is looks different in terms of the color and the shading than the surrounding area.
I think that we got an answer to that from our own Joe Cazera here at the station when you asked that question. And if I remember correctly, I think that the way they did it that way because it was a different team of illustrators who drew the animation part as opposed to just the background part.
Because it always looks plainer and,
right.
and less has less depth to it than the surrounding areas.
Probably because the more depth they get, and remember when those Tom and Jerry, those old cartoons were made a long time ago, and they were doing everything by hand, and the more depth and detail they put on that piece that was going to move, then they were going to have to illustrate every frame, 30 frames per second or so as it moved. So,
thank you.
Well, thanks for your call, and thanks for the suggestion on the break. Let's see. From the inbox, Daniel says, to answer the caller's question on why it's harder to pay off debt in a deflationary period, assets lose their value, and therefore you need additional collateral to pay off the associated debt. A single family's residence value goes down, which means that your loan-to-value ratio is higher and you are more leveraged. And Jeffrey from Irving says, current debt is at today's or yesterday's dollar, including current interest rates. With deflation, the dollar is worth less, so you're paying off a debt created with dollars that were worth more using dollars that are worth less. This makes it more difficult to pay off that debt. And from the also from the email from Trace, who says, former chemist turned geek, he writes, fluoride in water is in an ionic form. As such, carbon filters will not remove the fluoride. A membrane filter that is used in reverse osmosis is the only effective way to remove it. The fluoride could be reacted with other compounds to make it precipitate out, but you wouldn't want those other materials in your drinking water. He says, bottom line, if you don't want it, get yourself a reverse osmosis filter. Well, anything you ever wanted to know is produced by yours truly. Jeannie Mascoro runs the board. Thank you, Jeannie. Phones today were answered by our intern, Emily Cox. Thank you, Emily. Great job. And Brandon LaBarnett, our assistant producer, of course, worked very hard today. You can download episodes of the show at katyari.org and sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And, of course, you can send your questions and answers, comments and suggestions to anything at katyari.org. Next week, we'll be on holiday, the day after Thanksgiving. So that assistant producer, Brandon LaBarnett, you heard me mention there, he selected a fantastic episode of the show from July that we'll bring you next week. So the questions that are left over this week, tune back in a couple of weeks, and we'll be back right here. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great weekend.